Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found once again in the 42nd Psalm, Psalm 42. Let us first sing Psalter 391, stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 391.
Scripture reading will be from Psalm 42, but first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 42, to the chief musician, Maskell, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remembered these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. DePuter, who is still in the care beds here in Fort McLeod, but who may come home now from time to time. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of the earth, we may be privileged to gather together in this hour of thy holy day. When we thought for a moment in this morning that it would not be possible, when there would be something that would stand in the way, and thou hast taken it out of the way, and we may acknowledge thee, but thou knowest that there is also a people for whom so much yet does stand in the way of that holy sacrament that will be administered in our midst when thou wilt give it in this hour. O Lord, could it please thee, for thou art the God of the heavens and of the earth, to take out of the way everything that stands in the way. Oh, then it is possible with an eye that may look for one moment upon thee and upon thine only begotten Son. For he has accomplished everything that was so impossible for us to accomplish when we have fallen so deeply from thee. And then it is a depth that we do not know. But there are those who may see and must experience just a little of it. Here in this world, taught by thy Spirit, how we have been created and how that we have fallen from thee and must live out that wretchedness and that misery day by day, far from thee, whom their soul is come to love, with no way to return from their own sight. And thou knowest how that there may also be those in the midst of us in this morning hour. Lord, thou knowest what it is when the heart may thirst for thee and may long for thee, as the heart panteth for the water brooks. Oh, then it is not a love, and then it is not a burning that a man has placed in his own heart, but that is a yearning that comes from above, that is born of thy Holy Spirit. And yet it is a people that must be taught, who must be led from thee step by step. Oh, they must be led unto thee, because on their own sight they will try to work it out in their own strength. They will try it by their own righteousness. They will try it by their own goodness, to pay a price that thou alone hast paid, that they are not able to pay. Oh, how that they must be instructed in the way of a personal experience in those matters that they do not know. Oh, wilt thou lead the blind therein, also in the midst of us? May it be young and old together, in whom thy Spirit has begun, that thou may lead them then from step to step unto Zion, and that thou may also bring to that moment when they may be given an open eye to see that new and that living way, when everything from their own side is so dead and so carnal and so cut off, because of their own weakness and because of their own sin, and because of our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. Oh, then what a wonder to behold, with a little light from heaven upon thy word, what thou hast done for a wretched and a miserable creature, how thou hast given thyself even unto death for those who were not able to deliver themselves. O Lord, thou hast brought a people up out of the land of Egypt. Thou hast given them a cry when they were in that land of bondage. And that cry has come up unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. But thou knowest that in thy deliverance, thou also dost lead them into a wilderness. And then it is not their expectation, but it is the way wherein thou dealest with all thy children. Then it is a way wherein they must lose everything from their own sight. And they must be given to trust only in thee. Oh, that is a way that they must be given to follow. That is a way wherein all the rebellion and all the wickedness of their heart that comes out. Oh, that from time to time they have to experience all the dirt that lives within. And that it is coming forth from them. They see more and more, and that if it were not for all that thou hast accomplished, and for that fountain of blood that is flowing from the cross of Calvary, then from their side it would be so impossible. They would be born in and conceived in sin, and they would die in their iniquity, only to be condemned forever and forever. But thou who hast made that way, thou also art the applier of it. And thou knowest where that they sit in this morning hour. And when thy holy supper has been prepared, as thou hast commanded thy church to do, from that day that thou hast instituted, that they should do it in remembrance of thee. O Lord, thou knowest then where that thy church does sit. Oh, could it please thee to remember them? For the enemy, then he is always so busy. Then he is showing unto them that mountain of guilt. Then he is showing unto them all that is short. Then he is bringing before them time and again how that they have left thee days without number, and how that they have sinned against received grace. So that they are worthy to be cut off and to be cast away from thee. Then how shall such a one dare to approach unto thy holy table, wherein thou dost show thyself and reveal thyself, and wherein thou dost give the tokens of thy love? Lord, thou knowest how impossible that it can be. In this morning hour, even for thy own people, oh, that thou may give them a little quietness. Wilt thou give them a little eye to behold thee, that may look out for a moment from themselves, and that may see all that thou hast accomplished and for whom that thou hast accomplished it, that they may receive a little courage. That their eyes may be enlightened with a little of that honey that is made by thee for thy people. That they may be strengthened in that warfare. And that they may be able to go on a little bit again. Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of us. Thou knowest also if we make a mistake. Oh, thou knowest also. When we have taken it unto ourselves, and in this morning maybe that we have an intention which is before thee, a wrong intention. Lord, thou sayest that men, they do then eat a judgment unto themselves. O Lord, then wilt thou keep us, then wilt thou watch over us in thy mercy. For thou didst let a Pharaoh go, even though that he saw time and again thy hand. But then he hardened his heart, and so he went on in his sin only to be destroyed by thee. O Lord, then it is a fearful matter to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, we beseech thee then, if that is the way it is with us, that thou would show it unto us in this morning, and that thou may hold us away from thy holy supper, and from taking those things that do not belong unto us, but in that way that is not closed yet. For we still live in a day and a time of grace. Oh, then there is still an opportunity to bend our knees and to say, Lord, it is not right with me. And Lord, then I stand in need of true conversion. Lord, thou hast all the power in heaven and in earth. Oh, that thou would stop us then upon our way. And when there is no concern in our life but for the temporal things, when there has been in our heart no examination in this week that is gone by, when the thoughts of our hearts, they have not dwelt even but for a moment upon these things, when we are as Gallio walking in the midst of this world, caring for none of these things, when we have an outward religion and have come up in this morning only to look with our eyes, and to behold in an outward way. Oh, could it please thee then to take one of thine arrows from thy heavenly quiver and to shoot it forth from thy heavenly bow, and that our hearts may be stricken, and that we may see that we have been born into this world upon a journey, and that we are going unto our long home, and that we are conceived and born in sin. That we have to die, that we cannot die, and that we cannot stand before thee. Oh, give that a holy jealousy, and may be born in the hearts of many in this morning, for the blessed portion that belongs unto thy children. Oh, that the heart may begin in this morning for the first time in our life, to begin to hunger and to thirst after the true and the living God. Look upon the little children. Oh, give them in this morning that their eyes also may behold to see the blessedness of thy church here below, and that they have the beginnings of that tasting of the heavenly joys, and that our young people may see that there is a treasure that is to be had here upon this earth, that they may be given to forsake the world and every former friend, and that the desires of the heart may go out after thee. Lord, remember those that are not able to gather with us. Thou knowest also their place in this day. Heard it is still in the hospital here. Oh, that thou may remember her when she may listen by church telephone, that thou may also feed her soul. Oh, that thou may strengthen her and bring her home in thy time once again, if it could please thee, and humble the heart under thy great goodness. The way is long, but Lord, that thou may give her strength and courage to endure, and that she may be drawn by thy Holy Spirit. Do look upon the children also that have special needs in the midst of us. Another from a sister congregation operated on in the week that is gone by, and thou hast made it thus far well, but thou knowest all the continuing concerns. Lord, that thou may help her, as she is a widow. Oh, be thou unto her a husband, and wilt thou supply for her family also. Remember thy servants over all the earth. Wilt thou grant them thy help and thy strength in this day? Our brother also that is not able to bring thy word in these weeks, wilt thou feed him also in his soul, raise him up for his flock again? Also another brother that may bring thy word in a sister congregation, and thou hopes to be in our midst in this afternoon hour. It is not his mother tongue, but, Lord, thou knowest that a tongue by which he is able to speak, that is, when thou wilt put the words in his mouth, wilt thou give him help from the sanctuary, and wilt thou help us too. Lord, that thou may look upon us in all our need. For who is sufficient for these things? Then we are called to feed thy sheep and to feed thy lambs. And Lord, we know not how to do this work. Oh, every time again, then we stand so helpless. But oh, could it please thee once again, as thou hast ever done, to show thyself that thou hast sent us, and that thou wilt uphold us in the work that thou hast sent us to do. Give a little strength, therefore, in this morning hour. Take away all our fears and all that stands between, and make thou it a loving and an easy task. Feed thy people. Wilt thou give them yet to rejoice in all their sorrows? We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 364, stanzas 1 through 4. From out the depths I cry to thee. O, let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. This is the first wedding announcement of Wesley Van Harberden and Janina Stouches-Dyke, who hope to be married, the Lord willing, on Friday, August the 15th in the Lethbridge Church. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the Fort MacLeod Consistory by Tuesday, August the 12th. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 364, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in that portion of God's word which was read to you out of the 42nd Psalm and thereof the 6th verse. Psalm 42, verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. So far, the words of our text. A heartening remedy for a downcast soul. First, we like to see this in the life of David. And second, we like to see this in the life of his church. A heartening remedy for a downcast soul in the life of David and in the life of the church of God. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. It is cast down. It is heavy. It is bowed down. It is weakened. It is broken. My soul is cast down within me. And why is that soul of David so cast down? Well, we heard a little of it last time. His soul is cast down because of his many afflictions. His soul is cast down because of his many troubles. His soul is cast down because of his many enemies. His soul is cast down and because of the separation at the same time. The separation from the house of the Lord, a separation from the nearness, from the presence of the Lord. And then is it any wonder that David says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. David says, deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. What is that, a waterspout? A waterspout that is a funnel cloud over the sea. That is, boys and girls, over the land, we call that a tornado. And maybe we have seen that once in our life. We have never seen it ourselves. And nor do we have a desire ever to see it as such a funnel cloud. And that is lifting up all things in the earth. And that is casting them down to the ground once again. And now David, he speaks about the water spouts. And the water spout that was such a funnel cloud in the sea. Wherein the water itself was lifted up by that funnel, and then it was cast down once again over the sea or over the land. Then you understand, when those shipmen were out on that water, how awful, fearful that they were, when they may see one of these water spouts, because when that water would be lifted up, and when it would be cast down once again upon that ship, then there is no way that that ship can be sitting on the top of that water anymore. And therefore, David, he says, deep calleth unto deep. Then the waves, they are going up and down. And that ship that is going down even to the depths of the sea, wave after wave. And then on top of it, then those sailors, they see those water spouts, they are coming. And then you understand that it is one thing on top of the next. And so David says that it is in his life. Then it is not a single trouble, no. but that it is trouble after trouble in his life. Then it seems like enemy after enemy, that there is no one that he can trust anymore. And so David, he says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. But then there is something that is added unto this. And what is it? Oh, David, he says, it is something that is as a sword in my bones. Oh, it is something that actually pierces me. Oh, it is something that is causing my heart an unknown pain. And what is it? He says, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Oh, then on top of all the troubles, the afflictions, the trials, the sorrows, then there is an enemy that is mocking. And that he is mocking not only with David, but he is mocking with David's God. Or he is mocking with David's religion. He is mocking with that trust, with that faith that the Lord has planted even in his heart when he was a youth. And the enemy, he is now mocking at it. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. Or as a type even of how that enemy has mocked at the great anti-type of David. Oh, where is thy God? Thus that enemy, he is touching the very inmost feelings of that soul of David. Oh, he is touching the most intimate relation that David knows. That is the relation between God and his own soul. And then David feels with that mockery, and that enemy, he is touching not only David, but that he is touching the Lord himself. Where is now thy God? Oh, he is touching God in his love. He is touching God in his power. He is touching God in his faithfulness. And it is now the love in the heart of David for this God that does make this reproach of the enemy so pierce his heart as a sword. It is possible that the church of God is so dejected, that is under trials, under afflictions that the Lord is permitting in this world. We read of Elijah. He couldn't see it anymore. No, he says, thy people, they have forsaken thy covenant. Thy people, they have thrown down thine altars. They have slain thy prophets with the sword. And I am only left, and they are seeking my life now, that they may take it away. So we read about Jonah. Then he is so downcast. His soul that is so troubled at what? Or his soul that is troubled for the people of the Lord. His soul that is troubled for the honor of the Lord. His soul that is troubled for the Lord himself. For the love of the Lord. For the cause of the Lord. For the kingdom of the Lord. Oh, then he would like that the Lord would destroy every enemy of the Lord. Then he would like that the Lord would even today wipe out every enemy of the people of the Lord. And then his soul is downcast. Why? Because the Lord says no. Because the Lord says, I leave that enemy yet. Or I leave them yet for a little while. That they may be for the chastisement of my people. We can read that of David also, that David, he came to a time in his life that he was so downcast, that he was so tired from fleeing from Saul, from his enemies. And then he says, one day I shall now perish in that hand of Saul. He says, there is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. But so David, when he has gone his own way, then he has brought himself also into so much trouble. Then he could not uphold himself there. And we know only the Lord could deliver him out of that trouble that he had brought himself into. Oh, how much better a remedy David speaks of in the words of our text. What does he say? He says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. He says, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. O David, he has communion with his own soul. He speaks to his own soul. May you do that also in this week. Did you speak even unto your own soul, as David may speak unto his? And David, he asks his soul why that he is so cast down. He says, does that now belong unto that true church of God? Or as if there is no hope, as if there is no remedy, what kind of an example, my soul, do you set before all these men who are following you? Before all those for whom you are an example? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh my God, my soul is bowed down, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, David says, therefore will I remember thee. He says, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. What does that speak of? Well, that speaks of that land that is beyond the Jordan, that is outside or as it were on the borders of the land of God's children. And that is of the Hermonites and that hill Mizar. So that David, he is driven to the far ends of the land, away from the house, away from the people of the Lord. And David, he says, there, when I am so far away, wherever that I am driven, oh, he says, from that place I will remember thee. Oh, I will remember thee in whatever afflictions, in whatever trials that I am brought into in this life. I will think upon thee. I will meditate upon thee. I will remember thee because that is profitable. Because it is profitable for my soul. Because it is profitable for my spirit. Then I will remember who that thou art, that thou art God. I will remember thee in thy person. I will remember that thou art divine. I will remember that thou art powerful. I will remember in my weakness thy might. I will remember in my shortcomings thy faithfulness. I will remember thy justice. Even all the enemies, they are about me for a cause which I have not sown. I will remember thee. I will remember thy dealings. How thou hast dealt with me before. I will remember the word that thou hast spoken to my soul. I will remember that light that thou hast given before time in my life. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. I will remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, from the hill Miser. I will remember thee that I do not sink under my trials and afflictions. Oh, I will remember thee that I may look to thee, and that I may pray unto thee, that I may trust in thee. I will remember thee that I will not go my own way, that I will not go the wrong way. Oh, I will remember thee in order that I may receive the blessings then that are coming from thee. That is now that way, that, in that life of David. That is now that way wherein David is giving instruction also. That same instruction that greater David would give one day in the life of his disciples. That instruction that is coming unto that church of all ages. And we see that in our second thought. In those trials, congregation, David, he is not alone. Because there is a people that find their life also in that life of David. And perhaps they are not able to say what David said. Because David, he says, "Oh my God." And then there is a people, they say, "Now if I could only say that, if I could only say, oh my God, as David has said it." And yet, though they are not able to say it, oh, still the love of him is burning within them. Then there is a desire that he may be their God. Then there is a desire that they may be his child. But certainly, then there will be times in the life of that people where they will say with David, "My soul is cast down within me." Why? Because they are brought sometimes from trouble to trouble, from affliction to trial in their life, in an outward way, in an inward way. What are those troubles whereby that church of God is by times crying out with David, "My soul is cast down within me"? Or they can be congregation physical troubles. They can be temporal troubles. They can be troubles of the body. They can be troubles of the family. They can be troubles of the business. But they are now not troubles that are distinguishing that people from all the other people in this world. And why not? Because we read in the book of Job that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Then that trouble is coming as a consequence of our fall. So the Lord has declared it unto our first parents. Then you shall have to eat your bread in the sweat of your own face. Then there will be thorns. Then there will be thistles. Then there will be childbearing in sorrow, and that is now over every man that is born in this world. And yet it can look so different. Oh, Asaph, he nearly stumbled over this because he looked around him and he saw what he thought was the prosperity of the wicked. How that their eyes, they did stand out with fatness. But then he says, Lord, thy people, oh, they are plagued every day, every morning again. Thus one trial upon another trial. The one that is not even completely finished, and another one that is coming on the heels of it already. See in the life of Job what it was. Then the wind is coming, and then the storm is coming, and then it is all his substance, and then it is all his children, and then, oh, then it is laying even upon the body of Job himself, and that not for his own sin, no. It was for his instruction. It was to bring him through the trial, that he may come forth as gold. But congregation, how the soul, how the spirit of the children of God can be so cast down, even over all those outward troubles. And why? Because the Lord says in his word that the rod of the wicked, that will not rest on the lot of the righteous. And yet I am afraid that that rod of the wicked that is resting upon me. Or we see how that rod of Saul that was coming against David. And so that people, they are fearing. They say, how then can that be in my life? Then it is not right in my life. Because otherwise that rod of that wicked that would not rest upon me. And yet, the Lord never says that that rod shall not come upon them. But he says that that rod that shall not rest upon them. Unless the righteous put forth their hand unto iniquity, oh, then it will not tarry upon them so long as to make that people depart from the fear of the Lord. But the Lord knoweth what his children are able to bear. And therefore, David, when he says, oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me, he says, also, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from that hill Mizar. Oh, I will remember how necessary that those afflictions are to wean me away from this world. Oh, I will remember thee. And how thou desirest also that thou may see my face, that thou may hear my voice. Oh, then I will remember how little that the Lord hears from me in the day of my prosperity. And therefore the necessity that something of that rod is being felt in my life. Oh, then I will remember thee and what thou hast to do in order to drive me, in order to draw me unto thyself. Then I will remember thee and how wickedly that my heart that is cleaving to vanity and cleaving unto sin. No, it is not then the temporal troubles in the first place. But it is those soul troubles of that true church of God by which they are cast down in their soul and for which they are so in need of that remedy that David is speaking of here. Oh, they are cast down. They are cast down when they feel in their soul that they are not able to agree with the Lord. In all the afflictions and all the trials and the tribulations that the Lord is bringing in their life. Because the Lord, he says, then you must pray, thy will be done. Oh, then they say that in my own heart, then it is so much my own will be done. And so their soul that is cast down within them, their soul can be so cast down within them because of temptations, awful temptations that are living in the heart of that old man, and for which that old man, he is seeking bosom sins. Maybe sometimes that long ago their heart has relished, and that they are raising their ugly heads once again. Oh, some idol, some awful vanity. And then David says, I will remember thee. Oh, and then they say, Lord, I will remember thee. Oh, I will remember when thou drewest me out of the world. I will remember that day that thou taughtest me to hate sin. I will remember me. I will remember thee as thou hast drawn me out of that land of Egypt. Oh, and my cry also went up unto the Lord. And then I vowed in my heart, and that I would set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Oh, I will remember thee in the downcasting of my soul. They can be downcast because that they are so in the way of backsliding. We read that in the Word of God. Solomon writes of it. He says, I sleep. How is the people of the Lord? Do you sleep also? But he says, not only I sleep, he says, but my heart waketh. Thus two things, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Did you ever have that, boys and girls? That you are sleeping, and then you are somewhat awake, and yet you are still sleeping. Oh, that is what Solomon, he is describing. And then he is describing how that can be in the life of God's children. How that people, they can backslide so far from that place that the Lord has brought them in their life. And then it is not that they do not realize it. It is not that they are fast asleep and that they know nothing. No, but their heart waketh. Oh, then there are those moments that their heart wakes as it were a little from that sleep. That they realize that actually they are sleeping. Oh, people that know that they are in the wrong way. That know that they are under the spirit of vanity. That are under the spirit of carnality. That realize and that know that their treasure is not in heaven. Where that it ought to be, and that realize, that feel something of the hardness, that feel something of the coldness. They sleep, but their heart waketh, and they are mourning, because that it is that way, and they are longing that it would be different. But that burning of their heart, that is not sufficient to overcome their sleepiness. Oh, what does David say? Is there not a remedy? David says, I will remember thee. And then it is true. Then what is true, and that must come from the side of the Lord. We read that he put in his hand by the hole of the door. But what is now the means for this? Oh, David says, I will remember thee. Because people of the Lord, that love, that is a love that is lying so deep. And it is only in the flaring up of that love again, in the burning of that love, that there can be the victory over this sin of slothfulness and of waywardness. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. And then we can read how cast down it was for that bride, when she may be given by the power of the Lord to arise from that sleep. Oh, then she says, I sought him. Yes. Then she sought him. Then we read, she went out into the streets. Oh, she sought him. She said, I am sick of love. But what did she say? She says, I sought him, but I found him not. That was her grief. That was her sorrow. And her soul that was cast down within her under this way. All cast down within her under the darkness. That there was no light. No light upon his word. All for many days. And neither sun nor star appearing to that people. Oh, then her soul is cast down within her. Why? Because of the silence. The silence from the side of the Lord. And then she fears that it will remain. And that she shall never hear his voice again, which was so sweet unto her. Oh, the fears cast down. Afraid of that eternal separation, that she says that it shall never be anymore. Oh, I sought him, but I found him not. Fears cast down because she feels something of the hypocrisy. She fears it is Pharisaism in her life. She says, it was nothing, it is nothing, and it shall be nothing. Fears that as she is actually a Judas. Fears that she is a castaway, that she is an Esau, cast down under bonds of unbelief. Why? Because there is no fruit. She cannot see any fruit in her life. Nothing that is for the Lord. That there is nothing good in her. And then an enemy. Then he is coming to say, where is thy God? You spoke for him. You gathered your family. Do you remember that? Many years ago, your friends, you had them all about you. And then you spoke in those days. And you said something of how good the Lord is. Or you said something of what you have experienced in your life. That is what you thought. Or in that day, then you said to them how great that name of the Lord was. Where is he now? Where is now thy God? Is that the living God? Does he truly care for you? Does he truly love you? Is his providence for you? Or is everything against you? Look now at the sparrows. Look now at the lilies. How God is clothing them. how there is not a care in their life. Is that now your life? Where is now thy God? Are you one of his children? Cast down, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, that is under the strength of that enemy, that is under the taunting of that enemy, and I have no answer for him, and I have to agree with him. O Lord, I'm ashamed. O, is the Lord not alive? David, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. What was, people of the Lord, his remedy? Therefore, he says, will I remember thee? Will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from that hill Mizar? Oh, I will remember thee under the taunting of that enemy. Then I will say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, the Lord shall raise me up. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Oh, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan. Oh, I will remember thee in my affliction. I will remember how thou didst deal, how Joseph didst deal with his brethren, how he hid his face from them, how they did not know him. I will remember their care. I will remember their concern. But then I will remember also how his bowels, they did yearn upon his brethren. All that he sought for himself, a place where he may weep, that it was the desire of his heart, that he may also once again reveal himself unto his brethren. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. Will I remember thy word? What thou hast spoken, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. O, I will remember thee, even as Habakkuk has remembered thee. And when he has said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, and there shall be no fruit in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will remember thee. Oh, why? Because he says, the Lord, he says, the Lord God, he is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Oh, the portion, the blessed portion of that true people of the Lord, by a true and by a living faith, that have nothing, that are nothing, that can bring forth nothing, oh, then in the remembrance of him, then he is becoming for them, for the first and by renewal, and they're all and in all. And therefore David says, when his soul was cast down within him, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Miser. Oh, may his children, May his children, when their soul is cast down within them also in this day, be given such a privilege, even as David. Amen. Congregation, the form for the administration of holy baptism will now be read, which you can find on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye are, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and shall drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly, to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all the sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he proposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, all those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sin, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our flesh and the evil, with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted this His supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of Him. Now after this manner are we to remember Him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, that He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, and that He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that He afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded, that He was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed to the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessing, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, It is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to the covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness toward you. That, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, that you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Lord's, of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true bread and drink of his the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him, and be made perfect, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and that we may daily, more and more with true confidence, give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood. Yea, with Him, a true God and man, and that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, and that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, denying ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulation with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls and through the working of the Holy Ghost, and with His body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. And while the table is being prepared, let us sing not 440, but I'd like to sing Psalter 416. 416, stanzas 4 through 7, from the land beyond the Jordan. I bewail my misery from the foothills of Mount Hermon. O my God, I think of thee. As the waters plunge and leap, deep re-echoes unto deep, all thy waves and billows roaring, o'er my troubled soul are pouring. 416, 4 through 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. So it is so often in the life of God's people, in that week of preparation in a special way, when deep is calling unto deep. Is that so also in the life of some of you in this morning hour? And why is it that deep is calling unto deep? You say it comes to a climax. It comes to a head at this moment when we are in the house of the Lord and when that table that is made ready, and when that calling is going out, and the Master is come, and he calleth for thee, and then it comes to a head. Because when I may hear something of that hungering, and when I may hear something of that thirsting as the heart panteth after the water brooks, then I do not deny that I know a little of this in my life. And when I hear something of the cause of the separation, of the sin that has made that separation, then I cannot deny that something of this that has been laid upon my heart in my life. Oh, and I can hear something that it is laid out how impossible that it is because of our deep fall. Then there is a string that is touched within that I say a yes. And that is also my experience. And that I have attempted in that way. But it has come to absolutely nothing. That it has become more and more impossible. And indeed, when I hear something of that way, wherein the Lord is revealing himself unto his people, and when the Lord is opening a little of his only begotten Son, and when the Lord is giving a little light in the darkness, then what can I say? Then I would be a liar when I say I do not know something of this in my life. That I can speak and to say of that tenth hour. And when my eye that has beheld him, that is an hour that I cannot forget. That is an hour wherein my heart has leaped for joy. And then I have seen that there is a way outside of myself. Oh, my soul, why is it then? Why is it that your soul is so cast down within you in this morning hour? Because that table that is now laid ready, and that table that is now open for you, and he calls unto you that you may show forth his death till he come, all you say. My soul that is cast down within me. And why? Oh, it is so cast down because that sight that was so, so very small. Oh, that I hardly have seen anything. Oh, then it was such a soft voice as it were. Oh, that I am so cast down because it was but for a moment and then it was gone. Then it is a memory within me. And that is a memory alone. Oh, then the power of it is gone. And I cannot bring it back unto my soul that I may feel something of it once again. Oh, my soul,
that is so cast down within me because I still have nothing. Because, yes, I must say I have heard something. Yes, I have seen something. Yes, there is something in me that has begun to go out after him, but I do not have him yet. Oh, my soul that is so cast down within me, because I fear that it is not for me, because it is not for such as I. And from that moment on, there is no progression in my life. Oh, friend, is this your life? Is this your soul that it is so cast down in this morning in such a way? Then this table is open for you. Oh, David, he says, I will remember. I will remember from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites. I will remember from the hill Mizar. Oh, then he did the same as the Lord Jesus has commanded his disciples, and that he commands you also, oh my soul, that he commands you also in this moment, saying, all things are now ready. Come ye unto the supper, which is prepared for you. Or are there then none who may remember him? Is there nothing in your life that you may remember? Come then. Come then to remember him, for all things are now ready. Oh, come now. Come to remember what he has spoken unto your soul. Come now to remember what a preciousness that he has shown you in himself. Come now to remember the blessed suitability that you have felt in him. Oh, come now to remember his own word that he speaks for scarcely. For a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, as some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that we, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, O congregation. Are there any more? Because there is still open place. Are there any more who cannot deny that the Lord has shown you a little light? A little light, oh, that he has shown you the freeness of that way, because the freeness that dwells nowhere except in Christ. And when we may have seen something of that freeness to a miserable, a poor, and a wretched creature, then indeed we have seen something of him. Oh, have you then no desire that you may see him again? He has a desire to show himself unto you again. He says, oh, my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Are there no more? Then this table is closed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do
in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete remission of all our sins. Friends, we read in Psalm 23 that David says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Thus it was in the midst of his enemies. And thus it was not a taking away of the enemy, but it was a feeding of his soul about that enemy that was all about him. And that is now also the reason that the Lord, he has given his holy supper. That is because he is not taking away the enemy in the midst in the life of his church. But then he is giving in the midst of that warfare, his children, they may be defended against all those enemies. And we can read how that the enemy, he is saying now to David, "Where is thy God?" Does that enemy by time say that also to you? Where is thy God? There was a time that we can read that the people, they spake about stoning David, or how David's soul must have been cast down, because it was not even his enemies, but it was his very friends. It was his very soldiers. It was his very comrades. How must his soul have been so cast down? Because He knew it was for his own sin. He knew it was for his own wrong. And what do we read that David did? Then we read that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then he did not encourage himself in himself, but he did encourage himself in the Lord. And so David is saying also in the words of our text, when he is in the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and at the hill Mizar, then he says, I will remember. And so the Lord, he is saying unto his church, when they are in the midst of those enemies and in the midst of that warfare here below, as a help and as a comfort in all their trials and in all their tribulations, that he says, do this in remembrance of me. And why? Well, then he will have them to remember him. When your soul that is cast down, and when your soul that is cast down because of that old covenant and a broken covenant, that you know not how to fix that covenant anymore, then he says, remember me. Remember me in this breaking of my body and in this pouring out of my blood, because it was accomplished on account of a covenant which I have made in eternity. It does not depend upon you. No, it is a covenant that depends only upon me and upon my Father. There is the basis. There is the love. There is the faithfulness that is lying now in that covenant soul. When your soul, he says, that is broken down, when your soul that is cast down within you on account of your misery, then he says, remember. Remember that shed blood. Remember what I have done on that cross of Calvary. Oh, when your soul that is cast down at a remembrance of your own guilt, then remember what all have said of me, what Pilate has said of me, that he has said, this, I find no fault in this man. Oh, remember what that thief has said of me on that cursed tree, that this man, he has done nothing amiss. And when your soul that is cast down by the law, oh, then remember, remember what I have done. Remember what I have done in my active obedience, and that I have filled every jot and every tittle of that law. And remember what I have done in my passive obedience, in the breaking of my body and in the pouring out of my blood. Oh, remember it. Remember the justice of God, and that he is not able because of his own righteousness to punish sin two times. And therefore it is impossible that when a soul is so cast down because of his own guilt, and when he is so cast down because he cannot fulfill that blessed law of the Lord out of the desire of his heart, that it is for such persons, and that I have been cut off, that I have given myself, my body to the tree. Oh, remember when that curse that is coming against you, and when you are cast down because of that curse of the Lord, remember what kind of death that it was, and that I have given my body to the cursed death of the tree, that that curse may be taken away on your behalf. Oh, remember, when you have nothing to pay, remember this price, that I have paid, that I have given my body unto the death, even in my life's blood. Oh, remember, when you are cast down because of your transgressions, and that because of this, the breaking of my body and the pouring out of my blood, that God is able to show mercy even to all our unrighteousnesses and to remember his own covenant. Oh, when you are cast down, when you are cast down because of the pollution of sin, will you then not remember him from that land of Jordan? And will you not think then upon the holiness of him who could say which of you
convinceth me of sin. And when you are cast down because of your own vileness, oh, will you not remember the blessed suitability of this body and of this blood to cleanse the greatest, the chiefest of the sinners, and to take a leper and to make him to be as white as the snow. Oh, when you will be cast down because of all of your own shortcomings, when you will be cast down because of all that is short from your side, will you not remember my faithfulness? When you are cast down, when you have fallen again into sin, when you have made a covenant with your eyes and you have broken that again, and your soul that is so cast down, when you go over this world and everything is short from day to day, oh, will you not remember my compassion? Will you not remember that it is my love that is an everlasting love for my church? And when you dare not to approach unto me, and when you are so cast down, will you not then remember my word? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, the remedy for the cast down soul who is in the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from that hill Mizar, that place where that church finds itself in the midst of this world day by day. Oh, when you are then so cast down, will you not remember him from that land of Jordan? And when it is so quiet, and when you do not receive for yourself an answer right away, oh, then remember him when he was upon that cross and when he has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, remember that it will all be that way wherein the Lord leads you to his honor. It will be to his glory because he will have an afflicted and a poor people in the midst of this world, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord, and they shall not be put to shame. Let us sing a Psalter 429, stanza 4. Lord, though I walk midst troubles sore, thou wilt restore my faltering spirit. Though angry foes my soul alarm, thy mighty arm will save and cheer it. The last of 429.
My soul alarm.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 304. 1, 2, 4, and 6. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of 304. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.